scripture reading tonight, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We'll be focusing especially on the Lord's parable of the Pharisee and the publican found in this chapter. For our Bible reading, however, we'll read the first 30 verses of this chapter. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. We'll read God's word that far. May He bless the reading of His word to our hearts. It's on the basis of that passage and in harmony with all of God's word that we look at Lord's Day 30 of the Catechism, just one question and answer from that Lord's Day, question and answer 81. Question and answer 81 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The question is this, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted. For those who are truly sorrowful for their sins, and yet trust that they are forgiven them for the sake of Christ, and that their remaining infirmities are covered by His passion and death, and who also earnestly desire to have their faith more and more strengthened, and their lives more holy. But hypocrites, and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts, eat and drink judgment to themselves. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will recall a couple of months ago when we were making our way through the Heidelberg Catechism that we skipped a couple of Lord's Days in connection with the Lord's Supper. And at that time I said that we were skipping those so that when we partake of communion in a few weeks, we'll come back to them and examine some of those questions and answers. And that's what we do tonight by looking at question and answer 81 of Lord's Day 30. Question and answer 81 of the Catechism asks the very basic question, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? The answer that it gives is that the Lord's Supper is for those who are truly sorrowful for their sins, those who truly put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ and know Him as their Lord and Savior, and those that truly desire to grow in their faith and walk according to God's law. That's a proper partaker of the Lord's Supper. This is a good Lord's Day to consider, therefore, in connection with preparatory, which is what we have this evening. Because the very things that we need to examine ourselves with respect to are these elements that are laid out in this question and answer. When we examine ourselves in this coming week, these are the questions that we need to pose to ourselves and answer honestly. Am I sorry for my sins? Do I trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness? Is there in me a sincere desire to walk according to God's law and be strengthened in my faith? These are the very elements concerning which we must examine ourselves in this coming week. I'd like to look at those elements in connection with what we read in God's Word this evening in Luke chapter 18, in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. In this parable, the Lord Jesus Christ contrasts a self-righteous Pharisee with a humble publican. And when you look at the publican in particular, you see that he was a man in the state in which we find him in this parable, would have been a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper. What we learn about the publican in the Lord's parable is that he was truly sorry for his sin, that by means of his prayer, he was putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And as one who went home justified, the necessary conclusion that we can draw from that is that he desired to walk according to God's law. By looking at this parable and the contrast between the Pharisee and the publican, we will understand what it means for us to examine ourselves rightly in this week and come to the Lord's Supper next week, Sunday morning, with confidence that we are proper partakers of communion. Let's look this evening at the humble prayer of the publican. We notice in the first place, knowing one's sin. In the second place, seeking God's mercy. And then last, receiving God's forgiveness. The humble prayer of the publican. Knowing one's sin, seeking God's mercy, and receiving God's forgiveness. In the Lord's parable, He contrasts a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisees were a religious sect that developed at the time between the last prophet Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament era and the birth of Jesus Christ during that 400-year period. The Pharisees originally were a sect that had good intentions. They were zealous for the law of God and maintaining God's law. But over time, during that intertestamentary period, the Pharisees apostatized. so that by the time we read of them in the Gospels, they are a group that were characterized by this, self-righteousness and works righteousness. So much had they apostatized that they believed that their righteousness, their right standing before God, was entirely on the basis of their own good works and their outward obedience to God's law. That main characteristic of the Pharisees obviously clearly comes forth in the parable. The publican, on the other hand, was a tax collector. He was therefore despised in the eyes of all men at that time. Publicans in Jesus' day worked for the government, and their job was to collect the taxes on behalf of the government, but the problem was that everyone knew that it was a thoroughly corrupt business. Everybody despised the publicans because basically the publicans were getting rich off the people. They would collect more than the government required of them, take some for themselves, pass on a little bit to the government, and through that process, become rich at the expense of the people. Zacchaeus was a publican. And that's why when Zacchaeus, for example, turned to the Lord in faith, part of that was a confession of those sins and a desire to turn from those very sins of stealing from the people. We have a very sharp contrast, therefore, between the Pharisee and the publican. A sharp contrast simply in who they were. In the eyes of men, the Pharisees were the religious elite. In the eyes of men, the publicans were despised. In the parable, the Lord contrasts these two men, and He contrasts everything about them. He contrasts their heart. He contrasts their attitude. He contrasts their prayers. And at the very end of the parable, He contrasts what their end was, their reward. The publican is exalted, and the Pharisee is abased. By looking at this parable, as I said in the introduction, we will understand what it means to know our sin, to seek Jesus Christ for forgiveness, and desire to walk according to His Word. I'd like to begin by looking at the difference in the parable in the Pharisee and the publican as it relates to how they viewed themselves. We start with that in light of the fact that it's a preparatory sermon tonight. The Pharisee and the publican examined themselves. They had something to say about themselves, but it was very, very different. Let's start with the Pharisee. How did the Pharisee view himself and the publican in the parable? Because the fact is that the Pharisee examined himself. He very, very thoroughly actually examined himself. It was altogether a wrong examination of himself, but he looked at himself. He saw something in himself. And that becomes very clear by what he says in his prayer in the parable. Notice two highlights concerning the Pharisee's view of himself. Number one, the Pharisee compared himself to others. That's the very first thing that we read about the Pharisee in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, that is, stealers, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. When he looked at himself and measured who he was as a man, he did that entirely in light of other people. He did not do that in light of who God is and God's Word and the law of God. His examination of himself was over against the standard of other people. And when he made that comparison in his pride, he thanks God that he was not like other men. He was not one who committed these sins, so he thought. And he sees that publican in the corner of the temple and he says to God, I'm thankful that I am not like that man. So that in the first place. His examination of himself was in contrast strictly to other people. The second thing that the Pharisee said concerning himself was a reveling in the supposed good works that he performed. That's what we go on to read in verse 12. So having examined himself in light of other men, he goes on in verse 12 and says, I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Basically, he is saying to God, look at what I have done. This is your law, and I have even gone above and beyond what the law requires. I don't just fast once a year, I fast twice a week. I don't just give tithes of my income, I give tithes of all that I possess. God, look at the good works that I performed. Beloved, you are not a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper next week, Sunday morning, if this is how you examine yourself in this week to come. If your examination of yourself is simply in light of other men, you don't truly know yourself as a sinner. We always need to be warned against doing exactly that, exactly what the publican did here. Looking at ourselves, and then only looking at what other people do, and in some way feeling good about who we are and what we have done based on that examination. And we always are drawn towards making those comparisons in an attempt to make ourselves feel good as it relates to our Christian walk here on this earth. I'll address for a little bit the young people here in the congregation tonight. Is this what you do as you look at yourself in light of other kids at Covenant, for example, where you say concerning yourself, I know that I'm not like what some other kids are like here at Covenant. It's very sad that the reality is some kids have a reputation of doing things on Friday evenings that they must not do, of drinking on the weekends in the absence of parents and simply on their own partying together and underaged and drinking too much. Sad that it's there. But if you're sitting in the congregation tonight, and by the grace of God you don't do that, praise the Lord. However, if you only look at yourself in light of that and you say, I don't do that, and therefore, regarding what I'm doing as a young person in the church and in the school, I'm okay. I say again, praise the Lord that you're not doing that. But that's not the examination that you need to conduct as a young person. You need to say to yourself, what about me? Okay, I'm not with them on a Friday night, but what about me and what I am doing? How I am speaking about other people with my friends? What I am watching on the television and the movies? And you go right down the line. How I talk about my parents and how hard I work in school. You can simply make that comparison to them and say, oh, I feel pretty good that I'm not part of that group in school. But that's not the point. That's not your righteousness that you're not like them. You need to ask yourself the question, am I walking as God calls me to walk? And where do I have shortcomings? And what must I bring to God in confession and ask God to forgive. And that's true for all of us as members of the church. We can always find somebody out there doing things that we don't agree with and in some way make ourselves feel righteous because we are not like they are. That's not a true examination of yourself when it's only in light of others. What about the second thing, the Pharisee did. Second thing being reveling in his good works and bringing those good works before God in prayer. We don't understand ourselves rightly if that's our attitude. when all that we do is focus on a few outward things that we do, and in our mind feel like we're doing pretty well, therefore, in our Christian walk. I go to a Protestant Reformed church. I go to church not just once, but twice on the Lord's Day. I even attend a society every now and then. I make a meal for somebody else in the church. And on the basis of those good things, you feel pretty good about your Christian walk in the church. Now, all of those are good. All of those are necessary. These works that the Pharisee pointed to were good. Fasting and tithing were honorable things to do according to the Word of God. But when it's simply the outward that you're focusing on as a way to exalt yourself in your standing before God, it means nothing because you don't understand who you are as a sinner. I said of himself, notice number one, that he did not compare himself to anyone. That was a major point we just made a moment ago with the Pharisee, obviously. It was all about others in light of himself. The publican walked into that temple and he had his two eyes on one person, and that was himself and his own heart. If you come to the Lord's Supper next week, Sunday, rightly, you're not looking at anybody else except yourself. And when you look at yourself, and that in the second place with respect to the publican, what you see is a sinner. The publican understood the depth of his sin. And the evidence of that in his prayer to God is the fact that he identifies himself as a sinner. Now that's very different from what the Pharisee did in the parable. What the Pharisee did was identify things that he did. He fasted twice a week. He gave tithes of all that he possessed. He identified concrete things that he did. The publican was very different because the publican didn't, first of all, look at what he did or did not do. The publican looked at who he was. Now that's significant. He looked at himself and he identified himself in a certain way. Sinner. It's very important for us as Christians to confess particular sins. We need to do that in our life. We need to even do that in this week of self-examination where we examine our hearts, our lives, and we see certain areas and we say, God, forgive this sin. This particular sin of, as we heard this morning maybe, a love of money. This particular sin of lust. This particular sin of anger and bitterness. That's all necessary. But if we really understand the depth of our sin, it will go deeper than that. And what the publican does here is go deeper than sins on the surface. He goes straight to the heart and he says concerning himself, I know what is a part of me and my old man of sin, and all that it is a wretched sinner. I know that sin clings to me, and I know, therefore, that even my best works are tainted with sin. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then in the third place, not only does he identify himself not in comparison to others. Not only does he see himself as a sinner, but he sees himself as the chief of sinners. That doesn't come through clearly in our translation of his prayer because the translation is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's weaker than what it is in the original Greek. In the original, he uses the definite article, the. He's not saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, in a group of other men who are sinners, although that certainly is true. But what he says is, God be merciful to me, the sinner. That's the evidence of true self-examination. That's the evidence of a man or a woman who truly knows themselves as a sinner. It's like the Apostle Paul that we looked at in 1 Timothy. He said concerning himself, I am the chief of sinners. Every single one of us knows one heart, knows truly one heart, and that's our own heart. And every single one of us, if we truly know that heart, can't look at any other man or woman in this world and say, I'm better than that man or woman. Every single one of us sees our own heart and says, it's wretched, it's terrible. I am the chief of sinners. God be merciful to me, the sinner. That must be us, beloved, in this week of self-examination. There are times when we need to examine others. In fact, we're called to examine others at times and see sins and call others to repentance. But we're talking here about examining self. And if we truly understand ourselves, these things will be true of us. We will hesitate at this time when we're examining ourselves to talk about the sins of others because we know our own hearts. We know the depth of our own sin, and we make, therefore, this prayer. Understanding that true nature of our sin, the next element of what makes a true partaker of the Lord's Supper is seeking forgiveness and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Obviously, the Pharisee in the parable did not do that. In fact, that's one of the main purposes of the parable, according to Jesus at the beginning. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Pharisee looked at himself. He saw what he had done. He saw that he was not like others. And so what did he do? He was entirely trusting in himself for his right standing before God. This second point of the sermon does not apply to the Pharisee. In no way, shape, or form did he seek God's forgiveness and God's mercy because he saw himself alone and his good works as his way of righteousness. The publican in the parable sought the mercy of God. Here too, the prayer needs to be examined a little bit and explained. The prayer is very simple. He addresses God and he says, be merciful to me, the sinner. The difficulty is in that word merciful. It's not the normal word for mercy that we find in the New Testament. The normal word for mercy, the main idea of mercy usually is to have pity and compassion and to lift one up out of that misery by having pity on that man or that woman. We read of that mercy all the time in the New Testament. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, was merciful, and the sick and the destitute, he was merciful and lifted them up out of their misery. The idea of this word mercy in the text is different. It literally means to propitiate. And propitiation has to do with the appeasement of wrath. When he says in this prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, what he is saying is, God, don't shower down upon me thy wrath. Let thy anger be removed from me. The publican understood sin. He understood sin, as we talked about it in the first point, the greatness of that sin, but he took it a step further by means of this prayer in that he understood what that sin deserved. He understood that all of his sin was sin against God, the holy, just God of heaven and earth, and just one sin against God was worthy of the eternal wrath and punishment of God upon him. And in this prayer, when he says, God be merciful, he's saying, God, remove that wrath from me. Don't shower down upon me the judgment that I know I deserve. And therefore it comes through in this way, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Very consciously, therefore, this publican was seeking the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, because he knows that God cannot simply remove that anger and not cast judgment upon sin when he sees sin against himself. The nature of God is such that the punishment and the judgment must be carried out. And so when he says, God be merciful to me, he is saying, cast that upon someone else. And that someone else, the only other man that can go upon in such a way that the sins are paid for and the justice of God is satisfied and the wrath is appeased, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, don't do it to me, he's saying very consciously, cast it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the mercy of God, beloved, in this week of self-examination. Know what your sins deserve as eternal wrath, eternal punishment. Know that if there is not another man to take that wrath, it's going to be upon you, and the end result of that is going to be eternal death. Put your faith in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, the only one upon whom that wrath can be showered upon, the only one in whom the mercy of God shines forth. Consciously seek the mercy of God in this week and put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one as the Son of God who can endure the wrath of God and the judgment of God for those sins that you know you are guilty of. And in doing that, consciously going to the cross every day, understanding your sin, through that you receive the forgiveness of God. The publican in the parable did. That's what we read in verse 14. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. First with the Pharisee. The Pharisee obviously did not go home justified. The Pharisee went home, as the passage says, abased. He was brought low. And that's not being brought low in the things of this earth, so that his physical circumstances all of a sudden were very difficult. He was destitute physically. That he was abased, that he was brought low in the eyes of God means something entirely different. It means that that very judgment and that very wrath of which I just spoke, wrath for sin, was upon that man. Every single man that puts his trust in himself and in his own works is brought low in that respect. The wrath of God and the judgment of God is upon that man. Judgment now. And if there is no true repentance and conversion and trust in God and in Jesus Christ, judgment into all eternity. There's a word of warning to us as a congregation this evening. The word of warning is that if you are like this Pharisee, like him in several respects that we talked about in the sermon already, trusting in yourself, only looking at your good works, not seeing yourself as a true sinner, always comparing yourself to everyone else, putting your righteousness in yourself, not clinging by faith to Jesus Christ. You partake of the Lord's Supper. Hear the warning, which is set forth very clearly in the catechism that we read. But hypocrites, and such as turn not to God with sincere hearts, eat and drink judgment to themselves. If you're the Pharisee, repent. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, lest the judgment of God come upon you. The publican, in understanding his sin, seeking God's mercy, received forgiveness from God. He says in the text, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He went to his home justified. What that means is that that publican knew himself as a forgiven child of God. In the consciousness of his heart and soul, he knew that when God looked down upon him, he saw him as righteous and forgiven and innocent in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the peace of knowing that those sins that he just confessed before God would not bring him to hell because Christ paid for him, and instead the righteousness that only comes from Christ gives him the hope of heaven. This is a daily experience for us as the children of God. In this week of self-examination, what we read here in verse 14, this consciousness of being justified in the eyes of God is something that we must experience every single day. Not a day must go by in which we don't make this prayer of the publican. This is not a one-time event in the life of the child of God. Every single day, when we examine ourselves, and that's true as well, that we don't examine ourselves 4 weeks out of the year, we examine ourselves every single day to see our sin and understand the greatness of it. We make this prayer daily. Now it's true that at some times in our lives, it may come forth with the emotion of the publican in the parable. That's true. That if you find yourself in a rut of sin, and you've been walking in sin for a while, and God finally through means brings you out of that, and you simply can only bring to God this prayer, you smote upon your breast and you cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. At times it comes forth in our life like that. But the essence of this is daily for us. You look at yourself and you know the greatness of your sin. And maybe not in these words so much, but yet very clearly by the nature of your prayer, you are crying out to God, God, be merciful. I'm a sinner. And in doing that every single day, this is your experience. Justified. God works through that prayer. God works through that true repentance in such a way that in the consciousness of your heart and soul, you know, clinging to Jesus Christ by faith, that He is my righteousness and He is my hope. And the Lord's Supper the next Sunday morning will do the same thing, the Lord willing. As a means of grace, God will work through partaking in such a way that we walk out of the sanctuary as we do for every service, justified. We hear the gospel and we know that in Christ I am righteous and I am forgiven. The passage doesn't tell us what the publican did when he got home. It doesn't tell us what he desired to do when he got home. But we can clearly imply from what we do know about him that this is true. That he earnestly desired to have his faith more and more strengthened and to live in his life more holy. We can imply that because he was justified. And every man or woman that is justified, who knows his forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ, desires that. Desires that from this moment on, I go forth more holy. Desires to walk according to the Word of God. Beloved, examine yourself in this week. Examine yourself in light of that question in the Heidelberg Catechism, for whom is the Lord's Supper instituted? Examine yourself in light of this parable that we considered this evening. Know the greatness of your sin, not someone else's sin, your sin. Flee to the cross of Christ. Cry out like the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. experiencing justification, desire more and more to be holy. Examine yourself in that way. May the Spirit work in your heart to do that, so that next week, Sunday morning, it's with confidence we can come to the Lord's Supper, and through that have our faith strengthened. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that we could look at this parable and learn what it means to know our sin, to seek Thy mercy, and to receive forgiveness on the basis of the cross of Christ. We pray that we might, as a congregation, examine ourselves rightly so that we might be proper partakers next week, Sunday, according to Thy will. Bless us now as we continue to worship Thee in song. Bless us even in the remainder of this Lord's Day, and may this day have been good for us, encouraging to us to take up another week. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.